baby boomers, Generation X, Generation Y, and millennials. These are just some of the more common names given to the generations growing up in America over the past half century or so. Now, if you're the parent of a millennial, that's anyone born from the early 1980s to the early 2000s, it's possible that you could have teenagers and 30-somethings living in your home together. Like it or not, our future depends on these folks. Understanding the millennial generation, loving them, launching them, learning from them, and parenting them to carry the torch of faith to the next generation, that's the subject of this edition of Licensed to Parent. Hello and welcome to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long Christ-centered residential therapeutic program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. The host of Licensed to Parent is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rosel. And you know, Trace, there are lots of parents who are still trying to figure out their teenagers and their young adults these days, and with so many millennials leaving the church, there is a concern that this generation won't be adequately equipped to, well, perpetuate the gospel to future generations.
Yeah, Rich, and I think that's a legitimate concern. I see it happening. I'll say that though young people are leaving the church in droves, there's still a remnant that actually do have some very good things to bring to the table, despite all the hocus pocus that has crept into so many of the churches today.
Yeah.
And as far as the whole failure to launch thing, as well as millennials leaving the church, that may be as much a parent problem and a church problem as anything else.
Indeed. And our guest today is going to be addressing that with us. Her name is Dr. Jolene Urlacher. She's the founder of the organization Leading Tomorrow. She founded that in 2013 with the aim of equipping churches as well as ministries, schools, missions agencies, and other teams or organizations for effective intergenerational leadership in what you would describe as an evolving culture. Jolene worked for 8 years at North Central University, specializing in leadership training, student development, and personal management. And during that time, she identified the need for building awareness of generational differences as young leaders were entering the workplace, and that especially applied to ministry contexts. This began an extended journey of researching the experiences and the needs of millennials in ministry positions, and in fact, she recently released her book, Millennials in Ministry, which documents her findings. Jolene earned her master's degree in English and her doctorate in leadership from the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul, Minnesota. She lives in Pinehurst, North Carolina with her husband, twin daughters, and their wonder dog, Rex. And by the way, Jolene, I saw a note that said, you enjoy reading, writing, and drinking coffee. Trace and I can relate to that, and I can definitely understand that when you're the parent of twins. How old are your twins, or are they already grown?
They just turned 2, so I'm still drinking lots of coffee.
Okay. Yikes. Well, that's almost grown, at least by their way of looking at
right.
it, probably.
Right.
Well, Jolene, welcome to the Licensed to Parent broadcast. God bless you.
It's good to be here.
Listen, I guess the first thing we probably need to do is to inform our listeners exactly what a millennial is. I mean, can you tell our listeners what is a millennial?
Well, a millennial, like was stated earlier, is basically someone who's born from roughly the early 1980s to anywhere between mid-1990s to 2000s. So right now, they're roughly between 15 to 35 years old would be someone who would be termed a millennial.
And I know your book, Millennials in Ministry, is written mainly with some of the older millennials in mind as they seek to perpetuate the gospel to the next generation. But can parents glean some helpful insights into their kids' world from your book if ministry isn't perhaps their child's professional calling?
Yes, absolutely. Really, the first half of the book just talks about the fact that this is more than a generation gap. What we're witnessing between millennials and older generations is not just kids being kids. Mm-hmm. There are significant cultural shifts that are occurring that are forming a different perspective in the minds of millennials. And so a lot of parents have just said that has been eye-opening in of itself.
Sure.
And second of all, I think just understanding how young people view the church differently than older generations can be helpful whether your children are called into ministry or not.
Mm-hmm. Could it be argued that if we weren't intentionally training our kids for ministry these days, that we might be asking to lose them to our culture, or perhaps even lose our culture to them?
Yeah, I think it is. I think, though, the first key for us is to understand that they have, many of them have a fundamentally different view on what ministry could be or should be mm-hmm. or needs to be to reach their peers. So sometimes what happens is we're trying to train a younger generation for a model of ministry that works great for older generations, but may not be as effective for them in reaching their peers. Mm-hmm. So understanding them and their perspectives and what they need is also key to us engaging them in ministry.
So we really, as we raise our kids, we really kind of need more of a missionary mindset as we approach this generation. Would I be wrong in saying that?
No, you're absolutely correct. I mean, I grew up as a missionary kid, and in my book, I actually talk about how understanding millennials and the generations that will follow them is a cross-cultural experience. Mm-hmm. We have to approach them as individuals coming out of a different cultural mindset than that which we grew up in. So mm-hmm. that's exactly correct.
In hearing you talking about your missionary upbringing, I think one of the things that you see firsthand as a missionary is an ownership in delivering the gospel to people. That's what your call is. I think back to the 1960s or 70s when we may have had a generation of people who may not have been mission-minded, but certainly took ownership of this new world that they were trying to bring in. It seems to me that the millennials in particular lack a sense of ownership. I guess it's from being mm-hmm. part of the me generation. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I mean, in part, it's that being a part of the me generation. In part, I think it also comes from having been raised in a setting or a cultural mindset of teamwork. So where you share responsibility with a group of people and you don't sense that individual responsibility to the extent that maybe former generations did. You know, you get a trophy for showing up and participating versus doing it yourself. And so I think it's that combination of it being an entitled me generation at times, and also the fact that you're relying on a lot of other people and you don't sense your personal responsibility to the same extent.
By the way, we will be sending you a certificate of completion at the end of the program today. send that home with you.
You know, you alluded to it earlier. Back in our day, there was, Rich and I are boomers. There was something called the generation gap, and our parents didn't quite understand or agree with all the long hair, the blue jeans, sex, drugs, and rock and roll rebellion.
I lived through it, and I didn't understand.
Well, I was going to say, most of us turned out okay, I suppose, but our generation did turn the course of our culture in a direction that it's really never recovered from.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect millennials will do with our nation's future, pro or con?
Well, I think that is yet to be determined, and it's one of the reasons that I founded my organization and that I am so passionate about this topic, because I feel like the window is closing for older generations to mentor and instill in the millennials some of the skills and perspectives that they need to truly be effective. However, I'm a firm believer that God places in each generation the skills and the perspectives that they need to propel His kingdom forward. Mm-hmm. So how do we as leaders, mentors, parents, cultivate the things that God has instilled and mitigate the things that the culture would seek to undermine mm-hmm. in their lives. In reality, a lot of millennials, they want to learn from the older generation. Mm-hmm. I think that millennials have been dealt a rough hand in, coming of
sure.
age, graduating from college in the midst of the recession. Mm-hmm. But I do have hope that they're going to be able to step up and take leadership roles when they're called upon. So
I think they'll be late bloomers, however. But
yes, definitely late
but
bloomers.
But as much as they respect us, why don't they trust us? Why don't they trust adults? Did we shoot ourselves in the foot, coming out of the hippie generation because we did change America in a trajectory that isn't as good as my parents' generation in a lot of people's eyes? What do you think?
Well, I think I think what happened is there was such a significant cultural shift, as you know, with postmodernism. And millennials are the first generation that grew up fully steeped
right.
in a new cultural mindset. And I think what has created distrust is the fact that millennials, they've only grown up with one mindset and one cultural understanding. And I think they often feel misunderstood by older generations. And so things that they're doing, I mean, I know growing up in another culture, there were things that would be done in that culture that were often perceived by other cultures as being irresponsible or, delinquent in some ways, when in reality, by their cultural norms, they were performing in an effective manner. And so I think the same thing happens with younger generations. They're performing according to the cultural norms that they were taught. Mm-hmm. And older generations look at those behaviors and often misunderstand them. And that, I think, creates the distrust, which mm-hmm. takes me back kind of to my point about listening. I think truly for older generations to listen and understand millennials is what is going to restore the trust. Those personal one-on-one relationships and conversations are kind of the beginning. The same they are for missionaries. You know, that's what missionaries have to do. They have to sit across the table, drink the tea, do whatever, engage in the culture to truly understand it. And I think older leaders who are looking to empower young leaders really have to just kind of approach it in that manner as a cross-cultural experience. And in doing so, I think we can start to rebuild some of the trust that's been lost.
Yeah, and I think the other part to this equation is that millennials may be the first generation that their culture through digital technology and whatnot has really been the other parent. And has had more, arguably more, influence on their worldview than even their parents or their church.
Yeah. I'd like us to put a little bit of a face on this when we come back from the break. Let's look into how parents need to be moving forward and addressing some of these issues with their kids. Our guest today on Licensed to Parent is Dr. Jolene Urlacher. She's founder of Leading Tomorrow and author of the book Millennials in Ministry, which we are discussing today. You'll find that book on Amazon, and you can find out more about Jolene at leadingtomorrow.org. We'll be back with more of Licensed to Parent right after this. Our kids' hearts, minds, and souls are being influenced by our decadent culture. And with today's smartphones putting access to the world at their fingertips, we're allowing digital technology to become our kids' other parent. Don't believe it? Well, do your kids spend more time with their devices or with you? Don't miss an evening that can change your family's lives forever. Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age, featuring parenting expert, author, and speaker John Roseman, cultural expert and American Family Radio host Alex McFarland, and founder and director of Shepherd's Hill Academy and host of the Licensed to Parent radio broadcast, Trace Embry. Together, they share their combined insights on raising healthy kids in the digital age. Saturday, March 21st from 5 to 7 p.m. at Toccoa Falls College. Learn more and get your tickets at licensedtoparent.org. That's licensedtoparent.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting licensedtoparent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the family coaching banner at licensedtoparent.org. Welcome back. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our special guest today is Dr. Jolene Urlacher. She is founder of the ministry Leading Tomorrow and author of the book we're discussing today, Millennials in Ministry. Trace?
Well, Jolene, should we be raising our kids with the greater society in mind? I mean, the me generation is kind of like you said earlier, they get trophies just for showing up. Is there any merit to that?
Yes, absolutely. We need to teach them how to be effective. I mean, how to eventually step into leadership roles, you know, and serve effectively in our society. I think one thing that I would say is often what you see is, you know, when we see the need for mentoring or developing young people, we start mm-hmm. to think, okay, what program can we create? What structure can we put in place? And one thing that I would say with millennials, they respond so much better to organic learning than structured learning. Part of that is because their world is interactive all the time. Sure. They're always able to comment, like, retweet, you know, post. And so they're used to being able to interact and kind of flow from one thing to another in a volatile kind of way mm-hmm. Versus having a really structured environment. So they learn more organically. So what I would say is as we look to mentor young people, not to look for a structured curriculum or program that we're trying to implement. Those are important, but we have a lot of those. Mm-hmm. Think of your life as the curriculum. That's the best curriculum that you can use as you develop young people to engage in the greater society in an effective manner.
Teachable moments and whatnot?
Absolutely. You know, often I'll have leaders ask me, okay, so how do we create a program for youth to, you know, mentor them and disciple them? And I said, instead of spending your time investing in creating a new program at your church or in your youth center or whatever, bring those young people onto a committee with you where you are doing something. You are hosting an outreach program or you are running a ministry and allow them to be a part of it. Allow them to be part of the committee, give input, have assigned tasks, because in doing so, they're learning those invaluable lessons about how to take leadership, how to make hard decisions, mm-hmm. how to interact with other people. And the very curriculum becomes the committee that you're on versus trying to create a curriculum to teach them those mm-hmm. things that they could just learn by shadowing you.
And I found the more ownership you give them, the more they'll give back.
Absolutely. Yep.
Do you find that a teenager being on the latter end of the millennial scale is more likely to find a good mentor on the other end, say a 30-something, or is a more effective mentor going to come from a different generation?
I really think that it's case by case. And in reality, I think it's the individual who truly cares to invest in that young person and take the time. That's the biggest hurdle, is finding a mentor who's willing to take the time and invest in a younger person. So I really think it can be someone who's 28 or it can be someone who's 88. It is just the person who's going to genuinely care about them and take the time to invest mm-hmm. in them.
How do parents and teens define success differently?
I think that, you know, parents are looking kind of at the long term, the long term goals for their children. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I mean, teens, they have only experienced, you know, 15, 16 years of life. And so their goals are much more short term. And again, I think that's where coming back. So many teens nowadays are wrapped up in the digital world, and success is measured by how many likes do I have right. on that picture, or how many retweets did I get, mm-hmm. or what are people saying about me on Whisper or Secret, yeah. you know? And so what, so many of them are measuring their success by those measures that are often not even seen by parents or other adults, right. you know? So often parents and adults are measuring things like grades or sports performance, but those are not always the things that are making kids today feel successful or, you know, validated. Sure. So again, I think the more that parents can be involved in the things that are important to their kids, you know, whether it's social media, talking to them about what's going on in social media, those types of things, and understanding what are the measures that are important to their kids, it will then help them find the starting point for having the conversation and bringing them to the points that the parents view as success mm. measures.
Today's teens, particularly boys, seem to lack the motivation to get out and do something constructive, something beyond the next level of a video game or, mm-hmm. you know, 300 Facebook friends like you had mentioned. What can parents do to motivate their teens to succeed, you know, as they approach their 18th birthday? Because I think some of these kids, they think that life begins at 18, and they turn 18, and all of a sudden they realize, wow, it's just another day. Just makes mm-hmm. me more culpable for being responsible and independent. Mm-hmm. So can you speak to that?
Yeah. And I think I'll say two things to that point. I think one is speaking to parents who have younger children, who are not teens yet. It is so essential to instill in them, a love and an intrinsic, appreciation for things in life, like just going out in the woods and, mm-hmm. you know, picking the bark off of trees.
We do a lot of that here.
You know, playing with marbles and doing things that kids nowadays often don't do. It's a lot more work for the parents. Mm-hmm. But often we just stick that tablet in their hands or whatever to entertain them versus taking them out and right. just teaching them to just appreciate things. Because if we can instill that love and that type of intrinsic motivation in them at an early age, it makes it much easier later when they're in their teenage years. As far as motivating the teenager, again, I mean, it's in part, it's kind of what you're doing at Shepherd's Hill Academy. And I think I would say parents can do a version of that in their own, you know, lives, taking their kids out of some of these settings, taking them on a camping trip, mm-hmm. taking them, if your job allows it, taking them along and letting them work with you on certain things. I know I'll take young people with me when I travel and speak, just because then they can see, oh my, these are things that are important if I want to be able to have a voice. I need yeah. to be able to, you know, articulate thoughts clearly. I need to study how to make a critical argument. You know, mm-hmm. I need to do these things. So the more that we can pull kids into the adult world and let them see or experiences in the greater society, you know, taking them on a short-term missions trip, whatever, letting them see how things outside of their digital online world are important, mm-hmm. That's where they're going to get the motivation, you know, to see how it relates to the real world outside of, you know, what's on their smartphone right now.
Well, Jolene, two things come to mind with what you're talking about here, and that is that, you know, we're talking about wanting to instill this sense of who you are. We want to give them an identity outside of social media. So much of what we teach as parents, we have to teach by demonstrating it, not just
Absolutely.
By talking about it or trying to motivate them verbally. I would encourage families to consider maybe even, this is going to sound horribly extreme, but like a 1 month fast from social media. I do mm-hmm. know that nowadays schools communicate with families via email and work involves email and whatnot, but to the best of your ability, try disconnecting for a month and do some of these activities. Yeah. So not just let's go camping for the weekend, but let's remove ourselves from this. I would encourage Absolutely. Parents also, I lost my job back in 2008, one that I had for 17 years, and let me tell you, my identity vanished. So perhaps as parents, as we're trying to instill these values in our kids, try to think through it yourself. Who am I apart from what I do? You know, yeah. what is my character defined as in Christ? And then perhaps we could live this out for our kids, not just tell our kids this.
And if not a month, at least a Sabbath. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people shelving that stuff on their Sabbath day.
Now, Trace and I are so disconnected electronically because we don't know what we're doing that...
I don't.
Maybe it's easier for us than for some to take this call.
One of the kids you interviewed noticed that the church has always been a step behind. I have to agree, but I want to ask you what he meant by that and what can parents, pastors, and kids do about it?
Yeah, I think that individual is responding to the culture. And again, often the church is, you know, preaching still under a modern mindset versus understanding the postmodern mindset mm-hmm. that these kids are living in. And when I mean that, it's a lot of it comes back to tolerance education. The kids today have been brought up, I mean, textbooks talk about it. When it comes to right and wrong, there are none, you know,
right.
Those make statements like that. So kids have become so cautious about saying, this is right, this is wrong, you can't believe this, you can believe that, because it's alienating. And going back to the whole, how they've been taught to function in teams and to participate, they have a huge value on relationships and not rocking the boat. And then you add in the tolerance, not being able to say people are doing right or wrong, or you become judgmental. And when kids walk into churches and they hear what's being taught and said, they often feel like, I can't bring my friends here and feel like this is a place where they're going to, you know,
identify,
feel safe.
Yeah. When it comes to church, what can we learn most from this generation? And number two, what do parents need to know most about bringing up millennials today?
Again, with millennials, it's going to come back to the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
In my research, it became obvious that it was the mindset of churches and putting programs over people that really was alienating to young people. They want to come in and they want to feel like the individual is what is most important. What's going on in people's lives?
I'm a boomer,
really,
and it alienates me.
Yep, exactly. And yet we can the church continues to function as a business versus a family, and millennials and younger generations are looking for the church to be a family, which means that it's okay if it's messy. It's okay if it's not perfect. It's okay if there's some fights here and there, you know? But you're unconditionally loved and accepted. And that's what they're looking for in the church. And often instead of finding a family, they're finding a business.
Yeah.
So I think as we raise the younger generations, again, it goes back to our life being the best curriculum. When they see Christ's love and the power of God alive and at work in our own lives and how that's affecting our interactions with them, that's going to be more appealing to them, coming out of a relationship with us, than going and sitting in a service and listening to someone talk at them for 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So the more that we can be that living curriculum to them, build those personal, intimate relationships where we're listening to them, we're understanding what's going on in their lives, and we're speaking the truth in love, the better chance that we're going to have to retain them for the church and for a healthy spiritual journey in their future.
Mm, well, Simon Cowell speaks the truth, not in love, and they still respect him.
Yes, that is true.
I don't think that's who we're modeling ourselves after.
No, we're not.
Jolene, this has been a lot of fun talking with you. Your book, Millennials in Ministry, has been out since, I believe, October of this past year. September, okay. And it is available on Amazon. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Yes,
it's been a real treat.
Thank you for having me. It was great talking with you.
God bless you.
Dr. Jolene Urlacher, founder of Leading Tomorrow, author of the book Millennials in Ministry, which we've been discussing today. Again, you can find that on Amazon. You can find out more about Jolene at www.leadingtomorrow.org. Our thanks also to Dave Godsey and the crew at 100.7 FM The Shield in Aberdeen, North Carolina, for helping engineer today's broadcast. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. And as I mentioned last week, we have a special invitation to you if you live anywhere near Northeast Georgia or just like road trips. We have invited our good friends John Rosemond and Alex McFarland to join us for an event we're calling Raising Healthy Kids in the Digital Age. It's coming to Toccoa Falls College in Toccoa, Georgia on Saturday, March 21st at 7 p.m. You can get tickets and find all the details online at our website, licensedtoparent.org. Again, that's licensedtoparent.org. Thanks so much for joining us today. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, hoping you'll join us again next time and renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.